This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today our special guest is John Robinson, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Cotton Marketing Economist in College Station. A conversation in just a moment. Conversation last week with Aviva Arendine, Deputy Director of the National Economic Council. Who is the NEC?
The National Economic Council has a pretty broad set of responsibilities. My work focuses on a few areas. I focus on fiscal policy, so that includes tax policy, health policy, some of the things that the recent Inflation Reduction Act covers, and a lot of my work since I got here has been on that legislation. I also focus on macroeconomics, so thinking about the performance of the economy writ large, jobs, inflation, GDP growth, and then I work some on energy policy.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by Dr. John Robinson. Dr. Robinson, professor and extension economist with Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service in College Station, and the focus is cotton. I would say that the conditions today are slightly different than they would be had we talked maybe just a week ago. And when I talk about conditions, I don't know that we're talking quite yet about the size of the crop, but we are talking about a general moisture event across a good portion of the Southern High Plains, aren't we?
The Southern High Plains, the entire state of Texas, it's raining on my end of the state too, which actually it's unwelcome from where I am and further south. They're into harvest now, and so they need hot and dry conditions, which they're not getting for the last week or so, and it may continue. This is all coming off the Gulf, but weather has been the story. The absence of rain, the drought, which, you know, we can talk about how bad it's been by various measures. Everything's compared to the terrible drought of 2011. This is certainly a terrible drought. The impact of agriculture into cotton, of course, is, you know, all relates to when those drought impacts came on. And, you know, this drought was just devastating in its timing for, you know, the pre-plant period where we'd hope to accumulate some moisture, and then planting, and then the crop development. It's had a devastating impact, which I can reflect that just in the revision that USDA did to their crop size, their national cotton crop. They had a forecast previously, and based on averages of what was planted and average conditions, and accounting a little bit for how dry it was, they had an estimate previously of 15 million bales. They cut it to 12. 15-something to 12-something, they cut 3 million bales. Most of that is coming from Texas and Oklahoma. So that's sort of the statement of how bad things are, and most of that is drought loss. So it's just one of those years, one of those terrible years.
You mentioned the historic drought of 2011. You know, I had a couple of producers that I would talk to throughout the leading up and then into the growing season. For some of them, asking them if they had planted yet, kind of early in the season, they said, "No, we've practiced this enough. We're going to wait, and we're going to wait till the conditions are just right. We're not watching the calendar." The second thing that I heard from them was, "Look, we tried to irrigate through a drought 11 years ago and found out you can't do it." And so a couple of things that really changed the way we approached this drought from a cotton perspective. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I'd add one more wrinkle. There was a lot more available water in the Ogallala 11 years ago than there is now. So how much less could they fight that battle, just trying to make up for it with irrigation? The High Plains is a deficit irrigation area. It has to get rainfall or it just doesn't work.
So we talked about some of the changes in where USDA, I think, is definitely catching up. Maybe they've caught up. Maybe we haven't on just how devastating this the drought has been for the 2022 crop. But you mentioned harvest underway. What have we seen from the cotton that's already been pulled out, and what are you hearing from that Coastal Bend, South Texas region?
The Coastal Bend was drought impacted early, just like your part of Texas. So there's an area, I'm told, there's this gap. If you go down the coast, there's production in the upper coast, and then there's this gap where a whole bunch of ground was just zeroed out early. It didn't germinate. And then further down, closer you get to the Rio Grande Valley, things were actually pretty good. And I'd heard that, you know, some of the harvest that had begun to come out of the valley was pretty good. Now they've been rained on for 2 weeks from the valley all the way up the coast. That's never good. That's not good from a cotton grading standpoint. So we may, they're getting messed with. But back to USDA's, kind of reassessment of things. And another comparison I could make for you is after 2011 being the drought of record up till that time, the abandonment rate, that's the difference between what's planted and what's actually harvested, the fraction that's not planted. The abandonment rate in 2011 was the worst we'd ever seen up till that point. It was 36%. So over a third of what was planted failed, was not harvested. This last report, USDA's forecasted abandonment, they previously had it at like 31.5. They bumped it up to 43, which is just astounding. And it really took the market, took me by surprise, took the whole market by surprise, because, you know, to come out and say, hey, we're cutting 3 million bales off of the production number and we're raising abandonment 43% to explain it. They did that in August, which, you know, relatively speaking is kind of early. There's still more time for, you know, crop finishing up, and there's going to be a lot more data collected in the subsequent monthly supply and demand reports. You know, they'll be going out in September, particularly they over the whole state of Texas, they go out and do what they call objective field sampling, or they're counting bowls is what they're doing. They'll do that in September and again in October and again in November off the same stretches of row in the same fields. So we'll be getting that. We'll be getting Jennings data. We'll have a much clearer picture with a lot more data. And for them to come out in August and say, and make this huge, huge adjustment downward, it leads me to think of two things. Maybe they just said, well, this is what we think it is, and we'll just jump right to it, which is pretty bold. Or, and this is a scarier thought, maybe they're being cautious and incremental and just saying, okay, well, you know, up to this point, we're comfortable saying there's 43% abandonment, you know, in the back of their mind thinking, man, maybe it'll be worse, but we'll inch our way towards that, that estimate. Either way, it's astounding to me that they made the adjustments that they made as relatively early as it is in the, I'll call it the analyst season, the yield guessing and production guessing season. We've got a lot of time to go, and if it goes lower from here, anyway, the market reacted to that by shooting up. We were limit up the day that report came out. We were limit up the following Monday. We were up 3.5 cents the following Tuesday. And that's what's kind of given us a bit of a rebound on expectations of even a shorter market a shorter supply than we thought.
Well, and it really sets us up to start looking, I think, not to just the December contract for cotton, but possibly looking at the December 2023 contract, which is next year's crop, which has been trading in the, I think, 87 to 91 cent range. What are you watching for as you start looking in that crystal ball for 2023?
Good question, because it's never too early to start thinking about that. So I'm looking at two things. The first is I look at the relationship between let's call those new crop, the 23 contracts. The relationship of new crop cotton to corn is a handy comparison, because historically the ratio of corn prices to cotton prices will predict the acreage that's planted. It'll predict whether we think acres next year will be higher or lower than they were this year. Right now, the last time I crunched these numbers, December 23 corn was like 5.88, and December 23 cotton was 90 cents. And that ratio is about, corn divided by cotton is about 6.5, which historically would give us a drop in cotton acres if this ratio holds and is as influential as it historically is. We could have a drop from 12 point something million planted to 10. So I'm watching that to see if that holds all the way through the winter and those price relationships stay that way, because it suggests we might have fewer cotton acres planted. The second thing is, NOAA is forecasting this La Nina, which is causing our dryness. They're forecasting the La Nina to stay in place all fall, which is bad news, because we want to have a dry harvest, but we need the ground to be replenished. Like at an 85% chance that this La Nina will continue through the fall, and then it's a 60% chance that it'll continue from December through February. So that's a pretty good forecast of a dry winter, which is bad. And so I'm looking at a situation where maybe we're going to plant less cotton because of relative prices, and then maybe it's going to be bad, you know, dry, a repeat of kind of situation we had this year. That suggests tight supplies, tight production, tight supplies, and a continuation of higher prices. You know, maybe we'll have prices, those 90 cents, low 90 cents, climbing up, you know, back up towards a dollar as the market kind of sizes up the possibility of just not having that much cotton harvested for next year.
And we haven't even brought up the idea of demand destruction as those prices continue to move higher. So that means one thing. Hopefully you'll come back and visit with us down the road. Can we do that?
Well, I look forward to it, because we'll certainly have more information to chew on.
Professor, extension economist, focused on cotton, Dr. John Robinson, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service, on today's Agribusiness Report.
The formula for success is a simple one. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why cotton growers looking to improve yield potential plant Delta Pine brand cotton, featuring 100 years of proven yield potential and exclusive genetics in every bag. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report, and our special guest today, Dr. John Robinson with Texas A&M.
The best thing you can put on your crop is your shadow. Your need to be in the field won't change, and the Cotton Research and Promotion Program was put into place to make sure you get the most from every minute you're out there. That's why the Cotton Board and Cotton Incorporated work alongside growers to spur innovation, fund research, and foster sustainability so generations of farming families can walk the same turn rows for years to come. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
When looking for your next career, what matters to you? At Livingston Machinery, we are service-oriented to be sure our customers have an excellent experience. We are passionate about agriculture and act with integrity and responsibility. We treat our teammates and our customers like family to ensure each other's success. Does this ring true to you? Maybe your career is waiting for you at Livingston Machinery. View available positions now at livingstonmachinery.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to our comprehensive look at agribusiness news, markets, and weather. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
When you grow cotton, you need a heavy-hitting harvest aid, something that delivers rapid desiccation that has powerful performance and safe handling. That something is Revaton herbicide. What's more, Revaton comes with a low use rate for greater convenience and efficiency. Hammer home this year's cotton harvest with Revaton. Learn more at helmcrop.com/Revaton. Always read and follow label directions.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Less pears expected to be produced this year, according to Lance Honig of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service.
Expecting production to be down about 1.6% below what was produced last season. In fact, if realized, that would represent the second lowest U.S. production since 2007.
Among the three West Coast states that make up U.S. pear production,
Washington is our leading producing state for pears. And again, they're looking at reasonably low production compared to what they've seen in recent seasons. Some of those dry conditions we've seen across much of the West impacting the pear crop.
Despite the lower production, though, crop yields for Washington pears are expected to be minimally impacted by the growing conditions, which included cold, wet weather in April and May. Oregon's crop is expected to fare well despite a cold snap and rainy weather this spring. California's crop is expected to be of high quality due to optimal growing conditions this season. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.